Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Henry Ford said, "Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who values strong, lasting business relationships. Today's Playmaker believes P equals MV. In other words, people have meaning and value. With us today is a president who played professional basketball. This great playmaker is Mark Rutledge. Mark is president of Momentum Mechanical. As co-founder and owner-partner of Momentum Mechanical, Mark has demonstrated a history of working and supporting the construction industry, being skilled in HVAC, plumbing, value engineering, and project estimating. Mark oversees the entire operation with a hands-on emphasis on competitiveness, project performance and quality, building strong, lasting relationships with his client base. Using his many years of marketing experience, he's always developing new opportunities. Mark received a Bachelor's of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering from Prairie View A&M University. In 1987, he joined TD Industries, advancing from a project coordinator to senior project manager responsible for projects well over $7 million. Then Mark began Momentum Mechanical in 2005. Well, we have a lot to talk about. Mark, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, great. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I need to ask you a question. You were born in Gladewater, Texas, which is a small community, just a little over 6,000. You went to high school at Westwood High School in Palestine, which is only 18,000, about 73 miles away from each other. How'd you get from Gladewater to Palestine?
Well, one of the good things, I stayed in the country. Mother was born and raised in Gladewater, so that was the homestead. And, of course, my father was born and raised in Palestine. So my mother kind of won out when they first got married and things like that. So it was greatness. And when I got to the 7th or 8th grade, we made the move to Palestine, Texas, where my dad's mother was. So he was close to her. And that's the place where we finished out our high school career.
Well, then you went south to Prairie View A&M to school. But how did you end up in Dallas-Fort Worth?
Of course, Prairie View was my parents' alma mater and my grandfather and grandmother's alma mater. So I was a third-generation college kid, so to speak. It's kind of interesting when you play basketball on scholarship at Prairie View and you graduate. You had some skills, I would say, that was enough for professional league, not in the United States, but I did have a chance to go to Europe, and I lived in Dublin, Ireland. And so I played for a team called Jameson International, and that's the team that kind of paid our salary. And, of course, you know Jameson Whiskey. That's who paid our salary. Excellent opportunity for me. Got to experience life on the road as a professional basketball player on that small level in Ireland. And so you grind. You understand that life in basketball is something you have to put in your big-time effort into. And so that's what I did. It was a beautiful experience. Now, as soon as the basketball career was over, and it was just a one-season deal, because I never forget, I had an uncle that always told me, he says, "Now, you have this engineering degree, and the further you get away from it, the more and more it's going to get away from you as far as retaining that knowledge." And so we only made $35,000 when I was in Europe. It's not big money, but it was tax-free, and it was a fun endeavor, right? And so I was thinking about my uncle talking to me, and I says, "You know what? I got to get back into doing what I need to do in life." Because I always had a mission, I always had a goal, because when I was in college, air conditioning was going to be something I was going to focus on, because the state of Texas, we all know one thing, what? It's going to be hot as the dickens. And I always said to myself, if I'm going to cool the world or cool the state of Texas, I'll always have a job and an opportunity. So I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And so I came back to the States, and one of the things that I did my research, and I wanted to know who was the best of the best if I'm going to work with someone. In TD Industries, a company that's approximately 75 years old, next year they'll be 75 years old in the business, That was one of the best. Servant leadership principles, principles that align with my skill set, loved it. And that's what brought me to Texas, in Dallas, Texas. And so those are the things that kind of drive you, alignment, servant leadership.
Well, if you play basketball in Ireland with a sponsor like Jameson, who makes the whiskey, are you an Irish whiskey drinker and or a Guinness beer drinker?
It's the Guinness, not the whiskey, the Guinness.
The Guinness.
What they're known for.
That's right. Now, were you drafted to play basketball in Ireland, or did you have to find them?
No, it's kind of interesting. There's sports agents all over the world, and I guess they go through stats. And so someone saw my stats and says, Mark, we need you. And so it is as simple as that. So the agent was based out of Germany, and he makes the call. You go and see, is there alignment? Do you have synergy with the team? They fly you over there. It's a two-way ticket there and back. And if you stick with the team, you stay there. And after the season's over, you go back. So it was just that simple. Never saw my agent. Gene Lorm was his name. Never saw him, but he's based in Germany. And that's the way it went.
Well, it's interesting. You got to play 1 year of professional basketball, and it's a team sport. Mm-hmm. And you must have learned a lot from that 1 year. Not that you didn't play team sports before, but this is professional team sports. So it's just different than collegiate. What kind of learning did you get from that 1 year playing basketball abroad in a different culture?
Right. Tremendous. Different cultures. And you're always in the back of your mind wanting to know, how does America look to them, because I live in America and I know how it is for me. One of the things that it was interesting, there was a family, and you're talking about race, right? It was a family, young, just had a child that was born, and we used to go to the home, and it was just interesting to go there with your bubbly personality and things like that, and you have you're meeting the family, and the young lady, young child, would look at you, first time seeing an African American, and it was just interesting just to see that inquisitiveness, and that I had never seen an African American before. And that was like really, really, really touching to me, because this newness that she had, this innocence she had, and I'm always reflecting back, we all come in this world with this innocence. And all I wanted to do with myself was give that first time impression a pleasurable one. And that's all. So anytime I see anyone, just that little thing there makes me want to give everyone that. So that learning experience, I carry it on even when I'm in the United States. And that's carried me far.
Was your experience when you were playing for Jameson in Ireland, was it playing with other Irish players, or was it more like the United Nations of players from different countries?
Well, one of the things they're trying to do when you go over in Europe is trying to get the level of play up. So you can only have two Americans per team. So the team was full of Irish men to get that level of play up. And it was kind of interesting because we were on one of the better teams there, which made it even better. But even in that, those teams try to mimic what they do in the NBA. So it was not like we just went over there and just played basketball. We had to be plugged in with the community. And so we had to go into the school system and help train some of the kids. And we had to go and meet them. And we had to help brand who Jameson was so we can get those fans to come in. Because you know what's king over there? It's football or soccer. And so we were competing with soccer and things like in those sports. So that's one of the things that I kind of love. They tried to bring it up to a level of professionalism, and they did a great job at it, and we were just part of that experience.
So apparently you were an ambassador.
Very much so.
For the United States, right. For your race, mm-hmm. For basketball, mm-hmm. For sports.
Mm-hmm. And so you just take it on that micro, you know, we're not the macro, but with the micro, on the micro level, you do and push and do things extremely well, whatever level you're on. And make it your own. And that's what I learned, and that's what I always try to bring to the table.
Well, when you left Ireland, you came back to the United States. You said you went to TD Industries, but did you go to Carter High School first?
Sure did, because, again, I didn't have basketball out of my blood. I was over in Europe, but I wanted to play professionally. So one of the things that I did, I went to summer league camp with the Mavericks, right? One of the things they wanted to do back in the day, it was called Larry Krieger's Basketball Camp. So we had to go up to Loyola Marymount in California. And that's where the summer league took place. Going through that adventure, very competitive, you find out that you're competing with so many and everyone can't get those slots. I was afforded an opportunity to go back to Europe with an agent that says we'll send you back to Italy. And that opportunity went away. So the only thing I could do was either go back to Ireland or my agent had a place for me in Turku, Finland. And I says, Turku, Chernobyl just melted down. Radiation was flying over the nation there. So I says, you know what, guys, I think I'm just going to have to slow it down a little bit. And that's why I came back to the States. And I says, TD Industries, here I come.
Did you go to Carter before TD or after TD?
So,
or during TD Industries?
So it was in between, because one of the things that allowed me to go to California and play in the summer league was having a job that year. I needed to have a place to that gave me the flexibility. So I really taught as a permanent sub pre-calculus and algebra. And so at Carter High School, that again, that made me have that flexibility. So if I needed to go and play basketball, I could. But most of the time that whole year, I just stayed in the classroom and was able to finish out that year from September all the way until May.
Now, that experience of working with those kids must have carried over to you what you're doing right now by being involved in the school system. So how are you involved with working with kids now?
In our industry, it's kind of unique, because it's hands-on. A lot of kids don't have the opportunity to go to college. And a lot of these kids are very, very good with their hands. So we need a tremendous amount of craftsmen, whether it be welders or electricians and HVAC guys. And this is what has allowed me to go into these school systems, knowing not all of us are going to go to college, and that's fine. But there's other avenues of making money in this world. Decent, honorable, good money. Because just think about it. If I install an air conditioning system in someone's home because it's gone out, you have the ability to make $1,000 per installation, or $2,000, depending on how you sell it and package it. Now, if you do 52 of those, right? 52 of those, one a week, that's $52,000, right? So if you do two a week, you got $100,000 plus. Or it can be up to $200,000, depending on how much you're charging for the units you put in. So that's good money. And it allows you to get your entrepreneurial skills up, right? The more I do, the more I can make. Did that take a college degree? No, it didn't. It took you, how do I parlay this knowledge into something I can do with my hands and make a successful living? And that's what being a good craftsman and being in construction, being in the industry is all about.
So that comes back to you being an ambassador one more time by working with these kids. You went to work for TD Industries. Mm-hmm. You then had a very successful career there. Then you started your own company. Your company is Momentum Mechanical. And by the way, if you'd like to check out Mark's website, it's MomentumMechanical.com. Very easy to remember. Why Momentum?
The name sounds great. Momentum. Let's keep this momentum going. If you look at the equation, and that's rho, it looks like a P, equals mass times velocity. That's momentum. And so I kind of tricked out the slogan a little bit that says, where people have meaning and value. So everything just fit like hand in glove. We want to bring to this industry something that was unique. One of the things that we do, and you look at these municipalities and cities and state governments and federal governments, they always say we need minority participation of minority players. Well, if you look at my history, our family history, we've always had entrepreneurs. My grandfather was in the funeral home business. My uncle was in the paper business. And I had a grandfather who had, my great-grandfather has a historical marker down in San Marcos. He was a shoed horses as well as a community leader. And so you see this entrepreneurship that just runs through our family. The next thing and the next step for me was to parlay that into my own. And that's when Momentum was created in, like I say, 2005, 2006. And we've been moving ever since in a direction they make this company great. And that's what drives us.
I was going to ask you, if you didn't mention it, what P equals MV actually meant and how you came up with that. But that's a perfect slogan for Momentum Mechanical. As you said, it all fits together absolutely perfectly.
It's a little mechanical engineering coming out in me with those equations.
There you go. Thinking very logically, too. You are very strongly involved with developing relationships with your clientele. In listening to you speak over the last couple of minutes, that sounds like that's always been a part of you. Was that developed while you were growing up from your family?
No question. My dad was in the military, and most of what he taught was listening. Of course, when you're in the military, you don't talk back. You just listen anyway. So life for me was listening and learning. That's it. And if you take your ego out of so many things, as you listen and learn, you will constantly grow. Period. End of sentence. That's what life is all about. So it's not like I had to tell people things and there's my way or the highway. That's not how I'm wired. Listening and learning is the most critical piece in life. And this business has learned and grown because of that, those two basic L's.
Well, you are involved in a number of pieces of the mechanical industry in construction, as you said, HVAC, plumbing, engineering, project estimating. What type of projects have you worked on that people might be familiar with, and are they primarily in the DFW area?
Everything's in the DFW area. And some of the most current ones, and I guess if you're a big-time rodeo cowboy, is the Dickies Arena, which is in Fort Worth. So if anyone goes there and they feel comfortable, think about us. Texas Rangers Ballpark, where we had the World Series. If you go in that arena and you're feeling good and feeling comfortable, think about momentum again. So those are some of the projects, as well as we do medical facilities. And at the airport, DFW Airport, one of the two prize-winning projects, Best Mechanical Contractor, $0 to $5 million, we won last year with American Express Centurion Lounge. And this year, last week, we were awarded the same prize, Mechanical Systems, $0 to $5 million. So we have done a back-to-back in mechanical system installation. So something for our guys to be proud of, something momentum continues to strive for, and it's happened because of all the great people we have at our organization, all 40-plus of us.
Well, you're talking again about momentum, and you're talking about lasting relationships, and all this comes together. It's lasting relationships with your clientele and with your people. So because of that, that leads me to my next question of leadership. You've probably learned a lot from basketball. Leadership is paramount within sports. But how did you develop your leadership style in working with your people?
Well, again, it goes back to listening and learning and training. It all started with my father because he's a military guy. And so we're highly focused on dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But then when we got to TD Industries, all the self-help classes we took throughout the years, whether it be Stephen Covey, whether it be Zig Ziglar, whether it be Tony Robbins, Dale Carnegie, all those assignments we took over the years are just like building blocks. And if you really pay attention, you just build and build and build. And the knowledge gets there bigger and better than it was before. And that's all we can ask. If you stay highly focused on listening and learning from people's, the goods and the bads, their successes and their failures, you'll go a long way. And be humble in learning from those experiences. And if any one attribute that I do have, I'm just glad I was able to just stay a humble individual because I've learned with clarity.
So to net that down, as you're working with your people, all 40 of your people, mm-hmm. you spend time listening to them
right.
rather than telling them.
That's right.
Would you agree with that?
Very much so. That's one of the best ways to learn, because the edict, my way or the highway, that's an old edict. It may have worked in the past, but as we grow and as each individual wants to have ownership of themselves, of their knowledge, of their skill set, they want to have this ability for you to trust them. That's what it's all about. And then if they do fail, sometimes we do, but you learn from those experiences and keep going and keep pushing forward.
Then I'm going to take a guess here that your turnover is probably very low, and you've made a home for your employees, which are partners, because you probably pick that up from TD Industries, because that's an employee-owned operation.
Very much so. And that's where the whole environment, the whole culture, the servant leadership principle came from. And so, again, when I stepped into TD Industries, it was a culture that I immediately loved and accepted. And so that attribute, I just carried on to this company here, so it works.
Well, apparently you're doing very well, because I understand you're chairman of the board of directors for the Construction Education Foundation. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with that, and what type of an operation is it, and what do you do as chairman of the board?
Well, I was. I'm a past chairman. But one of the things the construction industry needs is to have trained personnel, trained craftsmen. And we're not a union organization. We're open shop. So all open shop craftsmen train at Construction Education Foundation. And that's our training wing for our contractors in the Metroplex.
Well, you have been involved in this business for a while. What would you say is your greatest achievement in being in this business and or working with the clients and or your people?
Well, one of the things I'm most proud about, and I think I said this earlier, African-American company. At one time, we were the largest African-American company in the state of Texas. Don't know if that moniker's still there, but we were. But one of the things you want to do is just not be the largest, but you want to be one of the best at what you do. So when people mention momentum, people say there's a level of excellence with that organization. And that's all we can ask for. We wanted the opportunity to get in the arena. And then when we got in the arena, we want to do exceptional things. So my level of pride when we won those two trophies last year and this year, it's just off the charts. It's off the charts. We're doing the right things. That's what it says. We're doing the right things, and people recognize it and see it. And so, again, the team of 40-plus employees all rowing in the same direction is awesome stuff.
You've been in business for 15 years. You've had a very successful business. Where do you go from here?
It's so many things, because so many minds, again, here we go, in the African-American community need to see a target, a way to go. Because if you look at the industries that people would say that are kind of normal when you think about industries that African-Americans are into, sports, entertainment, foods, and clothing, right? One of the things I want to do is change the paradigm just a little bit. Let's get into STEM-type things, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And this mechanical contract is kind of in that STEM thing. And that's what I want to do, because I went into Roosevelt High School several years ago. And I'll never forget speaking to those high school kids. And I told them, all right, guys, what do you think I do? Of course, first thing, someone raised a hand and says, you're a basketball player. That's exactly right. But I'm not anymore. I'm 55 years old. I said, I'm a mechanical engineer. And the first thing they said, one of the kids says, no, you're not. I says, I can be a basketball player, but I can't be a mechanical engineer. Something's wrong with that picture. So everything I do now is all about the eye test for anyone in any situation. If they don't believe that I'm that mechanical engineer, and you believe that I'm that basketball player only, there's something wrong. There's work to do. I'll always have work to do.
Well, I'm going to add one more title to what you do. You are president of Momentum Mechanical. You're co-founder and owner-partner, but you're also a role model too, and that's what you're doing with his kids. So if someone wanted to find out more about you, Mark, how would they find out more about you or get a hold of you?
Well, one of the things, you can go to the website, MomentumMechanical.com, and also go to some Facebooks. You do Momentum Mechanical also there, or Mark Rutledge, and see exactly where I am and what I do, and just kind of follow me.
Mark, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show. This is a wonderful interview. You know where you're going, and people know where you're going, and you're going to have a lot of success with doing what you're doing, so congratulations on that.
Steve, it's been great. Awesome. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Mark. This has been a terrific show. Thank you again to Mark Rutledge for being a guest and a playmaker, too. It's been great having you on the show and having our listeners join us, too. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back with more Playmakers See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.